Well, good morning. Lovely to see you here this morning. Lovely to have you joining with us online if you are, or watching us later. It's great as we gather together virtually or physically as we join together to worship Jesus this morning. This morning we've got an all-age, we're all in together this morning. JCB and ARC and Bible class are all back next week, but this morning we're all together as we worship Jesus, the risen Lord. Let me begin with some words from Psalm 57 as we start. Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Still sort of the Easter season, isn't it? And we gather to praise our risen King, the Lord Jesus, who has brought a new dawn for our lives and for our world. So we're going to stand and sing a couple of songs together of praise. Come, people of the risen King, and then My Lighthouse. Let's stand and praise God.
Rejoice!
Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the risen King. And the resurrection power of your Spirit that raised you to life is at work in us, your people, and we praise you for that. Father, we thank you that you have given us new life in Christ, that you are making us and all things new. And as we come to worship you, as we look to you, our light, our lighthouse, Lord, shine that light and life through us, we pray. Lord, forgive us where we have closed our eyes to you and the things that you've been doing. Forgive us when we've shut our ears to you and the things you've wanted to say to us. Forgive us when we've hardened our hearts to the love and the life you want to rise up in us. Father, perhaps this week we've been angry, perhaps we've faced disappointment, or we felt doubtful or cynical. Perhaps, Lord, we've taken our eyes off you and been distracted. Lord, wherever our days and weeks have been, we ask that none of that would keep us from coming back to you this morning. And finding fresh hope and conviction in the wonderful truth that you are our Lord and our God, that you have overcome death and that you reign over all things. Lord, breathe your Spirit onto us and into our lives this morning, that we may live with peace and forgiveness and purpose in your name. Amen. Well, in a couple of minutes, Carl's going to come and read to us, but I'll maybe just take a moment or two at this point to fill you in on some things that have been happening and some things that are going to be happening. We had a great big day out last Monday. The sun mostly shone, and when the rain came, it was time to go home. There was great chats and great walks and great games. So thanks to all those who organized our big day out last Monday and all those who came and took part. Tomorrow is Monday. Now, there's a hustings happening. Now, elections are taking place. You may or may not know. Elections are taking place on the 5th of May, and there's going to be a hustings, a chance to hear and ask questions of South Belfast candidates at Beaver Parish Church tomorrow night from 7 o'clock till 8:30. So that's at Beaver Parish Church tomorrow, 7 to 8:30. Michael Wardlow, who's most famous here for being David's dad, but he does have some other expertise too in chairing that, so he'll be chairing that. And I think six or seven parties will be represented. It's a good chance, maybe put this in biblical language, good chance for us as heavenly citizens who seek the welfare of this city to engage with the politics. So that's tomorrow evening. Also on Wednesday night, our prayer meeting is in person, and that'll be at 7:30 in the youth room. Now, next Saturday, I'm saying Susan there, next Saturday, Zoe is not going to Hungary on a youth team. Next Saturday, she's going on the next, next Saturday, she's having a coffee afternoon. But in July, Zoe is heading to Hungary. Zoe Anderson's heading to Hungary on an Exodus team. So there's another chance. Who doesn't love another chance for a coffee afternoon and to raise some money for Zoe and her team? So next Saturday afternoon, that's the 30th of April, from 2 till 4 at Knockbreeder, there's a fundraising coffee afternoon for Zoe and her Exodus team who are heading to Exodus. So do go and support Zoe for that next Saturday. I'm also sad to have to tell you about the death of two of our members. Firstly, Roy McKibben. Roy died on Thursday evening, and we particularly remember Ivy and their daughter Andrea and the family. A service of thanksgiving will be held here tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Now, we'd really appreciate some people staying just for a short while after today's service, if you can, to help get set up in the hall for tomorrow. So if you can lend a hand putting up tables and putting out chairs after we finish this morning, do go. And Marty Hamilton will be in there, and she'll give you a job to do. And then if a few people are able to come tomorrow afternoon around about 4 o'clock just to help put things away before the guides come, that would also be really helpful. And part of our church support and encouragement for Ivy and the family. And then on Friday night past, May Armstrong, another one of our members, passed away, and we give thanks for her life too. And we remember her niece Jane and family and circle of friends. A service of thanksgiving for May is provisionally scheduled to be here again on Thursday at 2 o'clock. But that's actually only going to be confirmed tomorrow. So do look out for the notice in the paper in the Funeral Times, and do phone the office on Tuesday if you want to check and confirm. We'll remember those families in prayer in a little bit, as Ruth leads us a little later in the service. But we remember, don't we, particularly at this Easter time, but also week after week, that even in death, we have and are a people of hope, who put our faith in the risen Lord Jesus. Kyle's going to come and read to us about the appearance of Jesus to his disciples after his resurrection. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Kyle, come and read to us.
Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.
Kyle, thanks very much for reading for us. Now, ordinary piece of paper, okay? Ordinary piece of A4. No, Reuben, have to verify. Ordinary piece of paper. I said earlier, elections are coming up, but you've got a chance to vote right now. I'm going to give you a chance to vote, and it's on this matter. What if I said to you that I could cut a hole in this piece of paper, this very ordinary piece of A4 paper, that was big enough for me to fit through? Listen to that focus group behind me there. Look, so I'm going to say to you, I can cut a hole in this piece of paper that's big enough for me to fit through. So we're going to go to a vote, okay? Who believes I can? Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Who believes I can? Why do you think I can? Anybody want to put, what do you think I can? Derek, what do you think I can? So, Derek, you got some sense that I could do this. Who doesn't believe I can? I mean, look, it's just bounced out of my foot. What do you not think I can? Size of me, size of that paper. What are you saying, Jack? I don't. Common sense. Jack, what would it take? What would it take for me to prove otherwise? In fact, Jack, come up here. Well, let's up the ante. Jack, who believes I can cut a hole in this size of paper that Jack could fit through? Yeah. Derek's bowing out now. Who doesn't think I can? Okay. Jack, what do you think? You're doubtful. No.
Unless you've got some way of expanding that piece of paper.
Jack, I'm just gonna do a little bit. I mean, okay, hands up who hasn't voted yet and just wants to see. Yeah, look at that. Right. Okay, so we're just you can talk amongst yourselves for a minute. So let me just do a little bit. Jack, what are you thinking now? I've done a little bit of cutting. What are you thinking? Jack, how could you possibly think that? Just let me think for a minute. I'm just going to make a few cuts here. Okay, we'll just take a halfway stage vote. Who believes I can? Who believes I can? And who still believes I can't? Anybody change their view as we've gone along here? Anybody thinking, Lorna, you have. You're seeing a little bit of evidence there, and you're thinking, maybe. Well, Jack, we're just coming to the point of reckoning here, aren't we? Let's see if this fits you. Oh. Boys, what were you thinking at the back here? We were quite vocal earlier. We're on the fence now, are we? So, Jack, there's a hole. Look at that. Jack, thank you. So, let me just hang that there for a minute. Some people didn't believe. And they needed to see me do it. And that's important, isn't it? Having a bit of evidence, having a bit of proof. Proof that things are true, that things that have been said are true. That's really important and helpful. Others believe me. Derek, believe me. Others believe me. Even though they hadn't necessarily seen me do it, they hadn't actually seen me do it, it was possible to believe, from me saying it, that I was telling the truth without actually having to see me do it yet. Some people needed evidence. That's important. But it's possible to believe without actually having seen me do it. Hold those thoughts. We have a story from Carl from the Bible that happened, well, the day of Jesus' resurrection, but largely the week after, a week later, after Jesus rose from the dead. Well, here's what happened previously. We heard in the first bit of the story. The night that Jesus rose again, he came to see his disciples. They were still hiding. We talked about that last week. You remember quite a lot of them went and hid. And he went to see all his disciples. And he showed them that it was really him. He showed the marks on his hands and his side where he'd been crucified. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And he breathed his Holy Spirit on them. They were overjoyed. They were absolutely delighted. They knew at that point they were people of the risen King, the unstoppable King Jesus. And they knew that even though Jesus had said to them a while back, "Listen, you will have trouble in your life, you'll have trouble in the world," they knew that bigger than any of that, Jesus. Oh, there we are. And they had a peace, they had a relationship with Jesus, a rightness, a wholeness with God. They had God's Spirit in them. They had Jesus sending them out with purpose to be his people. They were overjoyed at seeing Jesus. However, one of them, one of the 12, Thomas, here he is, hadn't been with them that night. And when they later told him, "We've seen the Lord," I wonder what he felt. Here's a quick discussion point. Take 30 seconds to chat with the people next to you. Which famous person would you love to meet? Which famous person would you love to meet? Have a little chat with the person next to you. Which famous person would you love to meet? A living famous person. Okay, that's enough. Let's have some suggestions. Who would you like to meet? And shout me out some people you'd like to meet. Who would you like to meet? Cristiano Ronaldo. Imagine that if you met him. Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo. Who else? So, Monty Don. He does the garden stuff, doesn't he? Yeah, I think. Monty Don. Who else? The Rock. Is he some big acting fella? There we are. Imagine if I said, "Oh, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, I was just out for a meal with him last week. And I was chatting with him, and if I'd known you wanted to meet him, I would have arranged it. I just saw him last week." Imagine if I said, "Monty Don, Margaret, I was on the phone with him last night. I was just chatting away. If only I'd known, we could have, The Rock, we were Skyping. He was on good form. Chris, I should have joined you in. If I'd appreciated that." Now, what would you think if I'd said those things? Well, partly, you might be quite doubtful, wouldn't you? Really? Really? You were never on the phone with Monty Don. Really? You didn't see Cristiano Ronaldo. But if it were true, what would you feel? Maybe feel a bit disappointed. "Oh, Ben, you were with Cristiano Ronaldo. You didn't even let me know." Maybe feel a bit angry. "I missed out. The Rock, I could have met him." So imagine what Thomas felt when he found out that the disciples had been with the Lord. "We've been with the Lord." Really? I'd love to have seen him, if that was really true. Maybe Thomas was a bit angry. Maybe Thomas was a bit disappointed. Maybe Thomas was suffering with that thing we A lot of us suffer from the fear of missing out. He missed out. Maybe Thomas was pretty doubtful. So here's Thomas. Maybe he doubts, maybe he's disappointed, maybe he's angry, in case it's all true, it's all become real, that fear of missing out. And he says this, unless I see for myself the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were in his side, I will not believe it. Unless I see and I touch him, I will not believe it. Thomas wants to believe, but he won't. He says he needs to see and touch Jesus. Maybe he's doubting, maybe he's disappointed, maybe he's angry. It hasn't happened for him. So the week goes on. But a week later, that next Sunday, this Sunday, a week after Easter, there's Thomas and he's with the others. And suddenly, Jesus appears again. And he says to them all, again, peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas. Thomas, who wasn't there last time. Thomas, who wants to see and touch Jesus. Thomas, who wouldn't believe. And he says, Thomas, look, touch me. I'm alive. Stop doubting and believe. I wonder if Thomas even did need to touch Jesus. It doesn't even say Thomas did. Maybe he was so blown away by what he saw in front of him. He said, my Lord and my God. He believed and he knew then it was Jesus. And he too, along with the rest of the disciples, like they had done, knew the peace and the joy and the purpose of being part of the people of the risen King. And he became one of the disciples who spread the good news. Let me leave us all this morning with two very brief things to think about from this story. The first is this, that Jesus shows us and will show us what we need to stop doubting and believe. Thomas said he had to see Jesus. He wanted to see the proof and the evidence. And you know, Jesus didn't just stay away and send a little message that said, you're not going to get this, just believe. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up for Thomas. Just like I showed you, I could do this amazing thing with a paper. I actually went and proved it and did it. More than that, Jesus showed up for Thomas. He gave Thomas evidence, something he couldn't see, to help him believe. And he said to him, because you've seen me, you believe. For our Christian faith, we don't say that evidence isn't important, do we? The evidence, being able to see things and understand things, is really important. We say there were witnesses that Jesus actually died and was buried. We say the tomb was actually seen to be empty. Those first disciples saw and touched the real Jesus. And for many of us, thinking about the evidence or seeing evidence of God at work is what helped us or what helps us believe. And it seems for Thomas and for us, Jesus is happy to show us evidence if we're willing to say and ask him. In fact, it's maybe already there if we're willing to see it. There are some great stories of people who haven't believed or haven't been sure, and they've investigated what happened to Jesus, and they've come away and recognized that he is their Lord and their God. Maybe there's some stories in this room of similar things happening. Jesus doesn't hold back on helping people to believe that he's alive if they want to know. And think whatever you like about Thomas, but he wanted to know. But what Jesus does say to each of us is don't let being doubtful, or don't let being disappointed, or don't let being angry that you think you've missed out or you're missing out in some way in life hold you back. He says, I'm here, and I'm alive, and there's nothing true to miss out on, and everything to have, if you believe in me. So maybe what you need to do this morning, or maybe what someone you know or are praying for needs, is simply to ask Jesus to show the truth to you or them, to stop doubting and believe. But here's the second thing that we pick up from this. And that's that Jesus blesses us for believing, even though we haven't seen him yet. Jesus knows that it is and it will be different for us than it was for Thomas. Thomas actually saw Jesus in the flesh. He may well have got to touch him. And he says, because you've seen me, you've believed me. But then, as Jesus talks about us in the future, all those who will believe, he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then John, writing his gospel, says how all these things that he's written down are there in this book, so that even though we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh and we haven't actually touched him, yet we can read them and believe them and have life in his name. So we haven't actually seen Jesus in the flesh, have we? We don't see him like that. We don't see him like Thomas did. But just like it was possible to believe me even without actually seeing me do it yet, so it's possible for us to believe that Jesus is alive without actually seeing him yet. Though we may not have seen Jesus, the Word made flesh, we have his words written down by his Spirit for us to believe. And Jesus and John both want us to know that just because we haven't yet seen Jesus, we are not in any way missing out. Sometimes, I wonder if you've ever thought, sometimes we might think, it would have been great to be back with the disciples, wouldn't it? Would have been great to see Jesus in the flesh. And it will be. And it will be. But wouldn't it have been great to be like Thomas and see Jesus? Well, Jesus says to us this morning, blessed are you. Not so much blessed as Thomas, even though he saw me and touched me, but blessed are you who believe in me, even though you haven't seen me yet. Blessed are you when you read and believe my words, even when you haven't yet seen me. And whatever else you do or don't see in this world, whatever trouble you may see, blessed are you as you come back to my words and know that they're not just wishful thinking, but they're true. Blessed are you when you understand that you have life in my name, life in all its fullness. So let's none of us, from the youngest to the oldest, let doubt or anger or disappointment or the fear of missing out in one way or another rule our lives. Keep coming back to Jesus' words and know everything those first disciples knew. Jesus' peace, Jesus' forgiveness, Jesus' presence, Jesus' purpose for our lives, and life with Jesus forever. We're going to sing great old chorus song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's stand and sing together as we reflect on Jesus' words to us. Thank you.
And so as we come to pray, we pray with faith. We pray with the eyes of faith that God is living. He's living in our own lives, in the life of this church family, in the life of our city, and throughout the world. And so we're going to pray for our world, for our city, for our church, and for ourselves. And let's pray with the eyes of faith that Christ lives. Lord, even though we don't see you with our physical eyes, we pray this morning you would open our eyes spiritually to recognize a little bit more of who you are and what you are doing in our lives, in the life of this church, in the life of this city, our country, and our world. Lord, from the youngest of us here this morning, right through to the oldest, this is our prayer. And Lord, in your world, there are millions of people displaced from their homes, facing danger, uncertainty, poverty, trauma, and so much more loss than we can begin to imagine. And we pray this morning for millions of people from Venezuela who live right across Latin America and the Caribbean, forced to flee their country because of violence, food shortages, and political turmoil over a number of years. And we thank you, Lord, for the 300 church leaders that Tear Fund has been training in Colombia, training to welcome refugees from Venezuela into their churches, into their lives, into their homes, so that those churches can become places of welcome and safety. Please give energy, compassion, and wisdom to those church leaders and their members as they continue to serve you and to serve those around them in this way. Lord Jesus, every displaced person around the world is known by you by name. And so we pray you would watch over children, families, older people as they travel and seek to settle. And here in Belfast, we pray for all those who are settling here. And we pray for and we thank you for church and other leaders leading the way and offering welcome, helping people to make Belfast a new home. And we pray for organizations like Evangelical Alliance, OMF, and Acacia Path, who are working really hard to understand how we as a church community can respond to a changing Belfast. Please continue to give them a vision for their work, energy to keep going, and people like us, to come alongside to work with them. Lord, thinking about our world causes us to stop and thank you for the stability that we experience in our own country. And we remember that we are called to pray for those who rule over us. And so as we see the many election posters on our lampposts as we drive around town, help us to be prayerful for those people who put themselves forward to represent us at the Assembly. Lord, we pray that you would give each of them that serve a new term humility as they serve, and generous hearts towards all those in their communities that they represent. And help us, Lord Jesus, to be a praying people for our leaders as they make difficult decisions in the face of so many pressures at home and overseas that impact on all our lives. And in that vein, Lord, we pray for the hustings taking place in Beaver Parish on Monday evening. We pray for Michael as he leads, and for all those who take part and all those who attend. We pray for a spirit of unity. We pray for clarity of thought for those who speak. And we pray that it would bring clarity of mind to people that go along to that and think about how they might vote. And Lord Jesus, in our own church family, help us to be a welcoming community here on the Saintfield Road. Lord, we pray that in the coming weeks and months, you would guide us in our vision of how we best serve you and serve others in new ways. and for our members who have experienced loss. We particularly remember the lives of Roy McKibben and May Armstrong. We thank you for them. We thank you for their lives and for their witness over many years and for their love of this place. We pray particularly for Ivy and for their daughter Andrea as they prepare for Roy's funeral here tomorrow. And we pray too for May's surviving friends and family, from those here from St. Peel Road who have been such a faithful friend to her and who will feel her loss, and for her niece Jane. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that each of us goes into a new week, perhaps back to school, back to work, back to college after an Easter break. Give us strength to study and to work to the best of our ability. And for those going back to face exams, we pray that you would help them to know your presence with them. Help each of us, Lord, in our lives to do all that we do to your praise and glory, to work hard and to rest well. And we pray that each of us would know that in the week ahead. Lord, we pray all these things, knowing that you are alive and reigning and hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ruth, for leading us. We're going to close with a couple of songs we sing together in praise of Jesus. The first one's a bit of a newer one. I think we know it, but we'll know it even better after we've sung it together. And then that moves into a really well-known hymn. So we're going to move from singing about the Man of Sorrows to the one who is crowned with many crowns. Let's stand and sing together. Don't forget, if you can help out with setting up for tomorrow, do that afterwards. But now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.